वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे
So we completed the 8th chapter of 7th canto. Today we will complete the 9th chapter, only 50%, not completely, because there are very important prayers here. So we will go at a reasonable pace. So till whatever verse we can cover, we will do that much. Text number 1.
Shri Narada Uvacha Evam Suradaya Sarve Brahmarudra Purasaraha Nopaitum Asakan Manyu Sambrambham Sudurasadam.
Not come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry.
So the contents of this chapter are in the initial 7 verses, all the demigods will push Prahlad Maharaj forward to please Narasingadev, who was so angry at that time. Then from 8th verse till almost 49 or 50th verse, we have Prahlad Maharaj offering beautiful prayers. So these are one of the very longest prayers in Bhagavatam. This is very long, and our 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahmaji's prayers are also quite long. So this is around 40 verses, more than 40, 42 verses are there, 43 verses. Then last, how Narasingadev, Lord Narasingadev reciprocated after Prahlad Maharaj's prayers is given, last few verses. So here in the first verse, we see that demigods did not dare to come in front of Narasingadev, who was very angry at the time. So he descended because his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj was being offended. Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj in many ways. So he descended to save Prahlad Maharaj from Hiranyakashipu, and he was very angry, and he is still in that angry mood only. So he was not, even after killing Hiranyakashipu, he is still maintaining that anger. So nobody could come forward. He was not approachable at that point. So Narasingdev became very unapproachable. So Prabhupada is nicely explaining in the purport what could be the reason for Supreme Lord's anger or devotee's anger. So anger is definitely in general it's an undesirable emotion, but that anger also has its utility in devotional service. Even Supreme Lord also exhibits anger, devotees also exhibit anger, but they exhibit anger towards offenders, not towards other devotees. Spiritual master may sometimes become angry upon a disciple to correct him or to improve his condition, but in general anger is utilized by devotee or the Supreme Lord towards offenders, towards demoniac people. Prabhupada says, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jani. Anger should be used to punish a demon who are envious of devotees. So lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, etc., all of them have their proper use for Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee. They know how to utilize these negative emotions also. Because a devotee cannot tolerate the blasphemy of the Supreme Lord, and Lord also cannot tolerate the blasphemy of a devotee. So Narasingadeva could not tolerate the blasphemy of Prahlad Maharaj. So he came and killed Hiranyakashipu. So now here in this context, Narasingadeva was still angry even after killing Hiranyakashipu. So here Prabhupada is making this statement, Lord cannot tolerate the blasphemy of a devotee. Lord always wants to glorify his devotee. Just like devotee is always eager to glorify his devotee, Lord also is eager to glorify. Devotee is always eager to glorify the Lord. Lord is also eager to glorify a devotee. So here, Narasingadeva was very angry here. So by being angry, Narasingadeva was glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. You understand? Because no one in the whole assembly, including Lakshmi and all the great demigods and all the great rishis are there, no one could approach Narasingadeva and try to pacify him. But Prahlad Maharaj could do so. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorified as the personality who could pacify the anger of Lord Narasingadeva. Not the anger that comes once in a while. The anger which is immediately there after killing Hiranyakashipu. Right? That kind of anger, that kind of ferocious anger in which even Mother Lakshmi also could not approach, Prahlad Maharaj approached. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorified for this activity. So Narasingadeva wanted to give that credit to Prahlad Maharaj. So he wanted to glorify Prahlad Maharaj. So he was exhibiting continuously anger. So Lord wants to glorify his devotee in various ways. Sometimes being angry, he will glorify the devotee. Sometimes he would test the devotee, and then when the devotee comes out very successful in the test, then he will he is glorified. Sometimes he gives temptations. You take some benediction from me. In the next chapter, we will understand. Narasingadeva says, you take some benediction from me. Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want any benediction from you. What do you think? Am I doing devotional service to get some benediction from you or what? I am doing selflessly. So by presenting temptations or giving them curses, giving them boons, becoming angry in various ways, Lord is always eager to glorify his devotee. Right, so here in the first canto, if you remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not convinced by anyone, including Krishna. After the whole battlefield, Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling that I am responsible for this whole death of 64 crore soldiers. Right, so he was feeling embarrassed and he was feeling very unhappy, and no one could give him a good counsel. Even Krishna could not pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. why Krishna could not pacify. It's not that Krishna is unable to pacify his devotee, but Krishna wanted to give that credit to Bhishma. Like that. So, Narasingadev, Namashantaya Ghoraya Ardhgiven. So, Lord can be Ghora, Lord can also be Shanta also. He can pacify himself, right? Or he can be pacified by anyone else. But the credit for pacifying a devotee is given to, pacifying the Supreme Lord in his anger is given to Prahlad Maharaj. So that is the reason why Narasingadev was not pacified by others. So no one, demigods and even goddess of fortune could not pacify the Lord. Even with prayers of glorification and praise. In the previous chapter there is a lot of glorification and praise given by various personalities. But because he was willing to exhibit his affection for Prahlad, all the demigods pushed Prahlad forward to pacify him. Like that. Now in the second verse, we will see how Lakshmi could not pacify. Sakshat Sri Preshita Devair Drishtvatam Mahadadbhutam Adrishtasruta Purvatvat Sanopeyaya Sankita.
The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who because of fear could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him.
So Mother Lakshmi, goddess of fortune, Sakshat Sri, Preshita Devair, and all the devas, demigods are pushing Lakshmi, or we could not pacify, you go. You should go and pacify. But she also could not approach because she never saw such an astonishing form. So Lakshmi also could not approach. Now we need to understand that Lakshmi Devi never saw Adrishtasruta Purvatvat. Lakshmiji never seen previously this kind of form. So does it mean that Narasingadev came into existence at that point only? Is he not eternal form? Narasingadev's form is not eternal. Is he not an eternal incarnation? No. Lakshmi Devi has seen that form. Lakshmi Devi has earlier seen that form. But this unapproachable mood of Narasingadev was very new to Lakshmi Devi. And another point is Lord's Leela Shakti is covering the pleasure potency, Lakshmi Devi. Lord's Leela Shakti is covering Lakshmi Devi so that everyone can experience Adbhuta Rasa. If Lakshmi Devi can easily approach Narasingadev and then Narasingadev is pacified, so where is the question of Adbhuta Rasa? So everyone was experiencing the astonishing Rasa, Adbhuta Rasa, so that because for that reason Lakshmi Devi also could not approach the Lord. So it's not questioning the eternity of the form of Narasingadev form. Narasingadev is eternal. He existed in previous kalpa also. And Mother Lakshmi took darshan of Narasingadev also earlier. But because of Leela Shakti, she could not approach him now. Like that. So Lakshmi's impression of not having previously seen or heard about this unprecedented form is inspired by Leela Shakti. In order to make everyone taste Adbhuta Rasa, the mood of astonishment. Like that. So that is about Leela Shakti's influence on Lakshmi Devi. Then another point Prabhupada highlights here is devotee's fearlessness in all circumstances. So for all common men, Narasingadev's form is definitely very astonishing. It's very wonderful. But Prahlad Maharaj could easily approach. In the 15th verse you will see, Prahlad Maharaj says, I am absolutely not afraid of your fearful forms. Right, whole world may be afraid, but I am not afraid. So devotee is always fearless in seeing the Supreme Lord's form in whatever form he presents, like that. So Supreme Lord is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is not a boring person to present himself in a same demeanor all the while. He can exhibit so many moods, right? He can exhibit sweet Madhurya mood also. He can exhibit Bhibatsa also. Right, Bhayanaka also. So, and he can exhibit two opposite emotions simultaneously also. right? There are other descriptions where Narsingdev was showing affection towards Prahlad Maharaj with one eye and anger towards Hiranyakasipu in the other eye. And our Krishna, when he entered the arena of Kamsa, wrestling arena of Kamsa, so there are 10 categories of people described. All of them are perceiving Krishna in 10 different ways. And he is the same person, the same 10-year-old boy, just doing the wrestling match with Chandur Mystic. So like that. So here, by Lord's grace, devotee can easily understand how he can appear in any form he likes. So Lord may present himself in various other forms. Sometimes the forms are very fearful, or bewildering, or astonishing. But the devotee, by dint of his devotional service, will not get confused or bewildered or fearful because of that presentation of Supreme Lord. So it is said that when a dog sees his master, in whichever attire he may be in, dog will recognize the master. So sometimes the master may come in shorts and t-shirt. Sometimes he may come in dhoti kurta. Sometimes in a drama performance he may come in a different way. But still, the dog can recognize. Similarly, a devotee can appreciate the Supreme Lord in any form that he presents himself. So, like that. So, Narayana Parasarve, not only that a pure devotee is unafraid of any dangerous condition of material life, but also, if the Lord appears to mitigate devotee's fear, he maintains his status of fearlessness in all circumstances. So that is about Prahlad Maharaj's fearlessness upon seeing the fearful form of Narsingadev. Third verse. Prahradam preshayam asa brahmavasthitam antike tata prashamayopehi svaprite kupitam prabhum.
Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Narsingdev is extremely angry at your demonic father. Please go forward and appease the Lord."
So now Brahmaji finally requested Prahlad Maharaj. Even Lakshmi Devi was reluctant to approach Narsingdev. So Brahmaji approached Prahlad Maharaj and said, "You should go and appease the Lord." So Brahmaji actually noticed the exalted nature of Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti. You see, in that painting, Lakshmi Devi was there. She was like not very reluctant to approach the Lord. That. Tatheti Shankai Rajan Shanakai Rajan Mahabhagavator Bhaka Upetya Bhuvika Yena Nanama Vidhrutanjali.
Narad Muni continued, "O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded towards Lord Narsimdev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands."
So, Tatheti Shanakai Rajan. So, slowly, he accepted the words. He was a small boy. Arbhaka is a very small boy. Still, he is a Mahabhagavata. Mahabhagavatorbhakaihi. Although he is a very little 5-year-old boy, still he is a great devotee. Upetya bhuvikayena, he just offered prostrated obeisances by falling on the ground in front of Narsingadev. Then nanama vidrutanjalihi, he offered obeisances with folded hands. Now what happened? Here, one important thing is, Prahlad Maharaj was the chosen person. When all others failed, Prahlad Maharaj was asked to go and approach the Supreme Lord, right? Narsingdev, who was in angry mood. So pure devotee is actually free from any desire for distinction, but he follows the desire of the Sangha, desire of the Vaishnava community. So all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees there requested Prahlad Maharaj to, "You go forward. All of us failed, now you go forward." That is very clearly indicating the superiority of Prahlad Maharaj over all the other demigods. So Prahlad Maharaj did not was not overwhelmed by feelings of humility, so-called humility, saying that, "Arey, when you are not going, how will I go?" He went, but in a humble mood. Like that. He was following the desire, the community's desire. Like that. So when demigods asked Prahlad Maharaj to pacify the Lord, he was not feeling any superiority complex. Suddenly, when so many people fail to do some service, and if you are given that service, subtly inside there is a feeling of superiority. Oh, no one failed, finally, mere paas aaya. So, let me show my thing. So, he was not feeling that superiority complex, and that is reflected in the very initial prayers only. Like that. So, now, let's see what Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness is. Svapadamule patitam tamarbhakam. Vilokya deva kripaya pariplata. Uttapya tatsirshnadhi adadhat karambujam. Kalahi vitrastadhyam kritabhayam.
When Lord Narasimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees.
Mm. So Prahlad Maharaj approached Narasimhadev, offered obeisances. So Narasimhadev, Svapada mule patitam tamarbhakam. So on his own lotus feet, he saw the arbhakam, the little boy Prahlad Maharaj, falling with obeisances. Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutaha. So then he glanced at Prahlad Maharaj, kripaya pariplutaha, with so much ecstasy, with so much causeless mercy. Kripaya pariplutaha. Then uttapya, he raised the boy. Tat sirshni adadhat karambujam. He placed his lotus hand, karambujam adadhat, tat sirshni, on his head. Right? Then, kalahi vitrasta dhiyam kritabhayam. Kalahi means the snake of time. Kalahi vitrasta means one who is afraid of this snake of time. Vitrasta dhiyam means his mind is, or his intelligence is very much afraid of kalahi, the snake of time. For such people, this karambujam of Narasimhadev's karakamal, right? Karakamal will kritabhayam, will cause fearlessness. So he placed the lotus hand karambujam on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, and that hand will actually cause fearlessness for a person who is very much fearful of the serpent of time. Like that. So Prahlad Maharaj was received so affectionately by Narasimhadev, like that. So even in the fifth canto, when Prahlad Maharaj was offering his beautiful prayers to Narasimhadev in the Kimpurusha Varsha, no, not Kimpurusha, Hari Varsha, in Hari Varsha, so there is actually a description. It says bodily identification causes fear. What is the why this kind of fear comes? Vitrasta dhiyam. Why does this happen? Because of bodily identification and material desires for sense gratification. So, Narasimhadev is described as the killer of Hiranyakashipu. So, he is killing Hiranyakashipu, and that Hiranyakashipu is representing material desires. So, Narasimhadev is the killer of material desires. So, how can he, his karambhujam can cause kritabhayam? How can his lotus hand, the touch of his lotus hand, cause fearlessness for a person who is afflicted by fear in because of time? So in this material world, everyone is affected by time and he is fearful. And that fear is because of bodily identification and material desires. So Narasimhadev can kill our material desires and cause fearlessness in a devotee. Like that. In a devotee's heart. And Hiranyakashipu is representing that material desires. So this fear is a very prominent emotion. Out of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, fearing. Rupa says sometimes. So that fear is more prominent than the urge to eat, sleep and mate. Like that. So Prabhupada glorifies Narasimhadev as the creator of fearlessness. Beautiful purport. So everyone in the material world, everyone is in a fearful consciousness. Sada samudvigna dhyam. And the only means to mitigate that fear is to take up to Krishna consciousness. So when Narasingadeva appeared, all devotees became fearless. So the devotee's only hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Narasingadeva. That's why Prabhupada is recommending, whenever you are going outside, whenever there is an obstacle, chant Narasingha Arati, chant the holy name of Lord Narasimha, like that. Yato yato yami tato Narasimha, wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Narasimhadeva. Thus there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Even in Narayana Kavacha in the 6.8, also there are special prayers offered to Narasimhadeva. He comes in the list of incarnations, okay, who are offering different protections in different places, and there is a special prayer also for Narasimhadeva. So he is specifically meant for causing fearlessness in his devotees. Now, in the fifth verse is describing Narasimhadeva's ecstasy in receiving Prahlad Maharaj. And sixth verse is describing Prahlad Maharaj's ecstasy. Yes, we have some point. Narasimha Mamadehi Karavalambam. Very popular in South India. Yeah, Mamadehi Karavalambam. So when that Karavalambam, Karambujam, when it comes on the head of a devotee, it is different. When that same Karavalambam goes on Narasimhadeva, Hiranyakasipu's chest, then that Karakamal will become something else, thunderbolt. Right? Otherwise it is very soft for a devotee. Yeah, sixth verse. This is the ecstasy of Prahlad Maharaj.
Satatkara sparshadhuta akila shubha sapajya bhivyakta paratma darshana tatpada padmam hridinirvrito dadhau hrishyattanuh klinna hridashru lochana. Transcendently situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy become manifest in his body, his heart filled with love, and his eyes with tears. And thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart.
Satat karasparsha dhutakila ashubhaihi. So when Narasimhadeva touched his hand, Prahlad Maharaj's head with his hand, sparsha dhuta akhila ashubhaihi, all that is inauspicious is totally washed away. So that is the effect of karavalambam. And sapadya bhivyakta paratma darshanaha tatpada padmam hriti nirvrito dadhau. So Prahlad Maharaj accepted the lotus feet of Narasimhadeva, tatpada padmam hriti nirvrito dadhau. He accepted it in his heart. Then hrishyat tanu klinna hrid ashru lochanaha, his eyes were filled with tears, his heart was filled with love, he was manifesting ecstatic symptoms in his body. Hrishyat tanu klinna hrid ashru lochanaha. So that is how these are the symptoms of ecstasy that manifested in Prahlad Maharaj, who actually took birth in a demoniac family. So Prabhupada very beautifully points out that there is no material impediment that can stop one's spiritual progress. So Prahlad Maharaj was educated by Narada Muni, was initiated by Narada Muni when he was in the womb. So which child, embryo, right, who did not have his even limbs formed completely, who did not even come out of mother's womb, how will he have an ability to accept initiation or spiritual instructions from a spiritual master, right? So there is actually material impediment for a soul to be entrapped in the body, in the womb of a mother, is not a very comfortable situation. Okay, it's not a situation in which you can imagine to take spiritual instructions from a spiritual master. But that kind of situation for Prahlad Maharaj was not at all an impediment to be initiated by Narada Muni, like that. So Prabhupada quotes many other verses. Mam chayo abhyobhicharena. So full devotional service If one engages in devotional service, then he will not fall in any circumstance or transcendental. He will transcend the modes. Mahami Pyartha Vepashritya Yepishu Papayoneha. So because of Lord's shelter, even women, Vaishya, Sudras, they can all approach supreme destination. So these kind of impediments, the impediments of being in mother's womb or taking birth in a demoniac family, the blood of demon flowing in his body, all these impediments are of no value, right, on the path of spiritual progress. They could not stop Prahlad Maharaj from progressing, for he was directly in touch with Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was cleansed of all bodily contamination because of his exalted position as a devotee. So, because of birth, the body may be contaminated, right? But that kind of bodily contamination may be removed when one becomes a devotee, like that. Even in 5th canto, Jambudvipa prayers, Kimpurusha Varsha prayers, Hanumanji, Sugriv says, right? To become a friend of Lord Ramachandra, you don't have to have very high exalted qualifications, no prerequisites, right? Even vanaras also can, bears also can become, what is it? Najanmanuanam, yeah, that verse. So, and Prabhupada also writes in one purport that all these vanaras, these monkeys, could defeat the well-armed, well-accomplished rakshasas because of Devi Shakti. So, the weapons that all these vanaras are using are just some trees and some stones here and there. But they could defeat all the rakshasa army who are having sophisticated weapons also. Right, because they are on the side of Lord Ram. So there are no material impediments. Those physically and mentally contaminated by atheism cannot be situated on transcendental platform. But as soon as one is freed from material contamination, he is immediately fit to be situated in devotional service. Prabhupada says. Then next verse, 7th verse. Astau Siddharim Ekagram Manasa susamahita premagadgadaya vacha tanyasta hridayekshana.
Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Narasimhadev with full attention in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice.
So, with fixed mind and sight. So, other day Gaur Krishna Prabhu was nicely saying, sometimes we'll just sit somewhere and then somebody is passing by and we don't notice. Our eyes are open, not that we are sleeping. Our eyes are open. So, with eyes we can see someone when if he is passing in front of us. But our eyes are not connected to the mind. Mind is somewhere else. That's why, although the sense object is coming in contact with the sense, still that is not making any sense to the sense. So, that is because mind is not connected with that sense. Similarly, when we are sitting in class, when we are hearing, when the ear is open, sound vibration has to enter. But still, it will not enter if the mind is somewhere else. So, here Prahlad Maharaj is fixing his both sight and mind on the Supreme Lord with full attention. Right? So, in complete trance. So, Prabhupada says this complete trance, samadhi, means very attentive, fully fixed. Being in samadhi means extremely being attentive. So this ability to fix this mind or this being in samadhi or ability to fix one's mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord is a result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection. When this kind of trance, when somebody is in this kind of trance, he is understood to have the mystic perfection, which is attained when one is completely freed from all material diversions. Proposes. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. Right? So the full concentration, fixed attention on one object only. In this case, Narasimhadev. Like that. Prahlad Maharaj could do that. Then, with that full attention and samadhi, he started offering prayers in love with a faltering voice. So from 8th verse onwards, the beautiful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj will begin. Text number 8. Sri Prahrada Uvacha Brahmadaya Suragana Manayotha Siddhaha Satvaikata Nagatayo Vacha Sampravahehi नाराधितुं पुरुगणैरधुना पिपिप्रु किं तोष्टुमर्हति समे हरिरुग्रजाते ब्रह्मादयः सुरगणा मुनयोऽथ सिद्धाः सत्त्वैकतानगतयो वचसां प्रवाहैः नाराधितुं पुरुगणैरधुना पिपिप्रुः किं तोष्टुमर्हति समे हरिरुग्रजाते ब्रह्मादयः सुरगणा मुनयोऽथ सिद्धाः सत्त्वैकतानगतयो वचसां प्रवाहैः नाराधितुं पुरुगणैरधुना पिपिप्रुः किं तोष्टुमर्हति समे हरिरुग्रजाते
Prahlad Maharaj prayed, How is it possible for me, who have born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons, could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, that then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified.
So this is the humility of a Vaishnava. Although he is given such a great privileged opportunity to please Lord Narasingadev, especially when all others failed. So right at the outset, he is declaring his inferior position compared to all other demigods. Brahmadeya Suragana Manayotha Siddha. There is Brahma. Brahmadeha. There are so many demigods headed by Brahma. Suraganaha. And there are so many other demigods. Munayota Siddha. Munayo, there are so many rishis. Right? Siddha means, you can take it as Siddhas, like a group of demigods. Or Siddha means who have attained perfection. Right? Or in full knowledge. Sattvaikatanagatayo vachasam pravahi. They are having sattva. They are in goodness. Prahlad Maharaj's intention in saying this is, I am born in demoniac tendency, demoniac family. So my mode is rajas or tamas, not sattva. But these demigods and munis, they are in sattva. Sattvaikatanagatayo vachasam pravahi. So they are in sattva and they are offering you such profuse words of praise. Svachasam pravahai. Their words are flowing. Their words of praise are constantly flowing. In the previous chapter, Sattvaikatanagatayo vachasam pravahai naradhitum puruganair adhunapi pipru na aradhitum. Means they could not satisfy you with all their sattva, with all their vachasam pravahai, with their speech, with their praise, and with their sattva, goodness, they could not please you. They could not satisfy you. Right? Puruganaihi, they are fully qualified. Adhunapi pipru, they were not able to satisfy you still now. Kim toshtu marhati same harirugra jate? How will I satisfy you? Right? Where is the question of my ability, in my capacity in satisfying you? Harirugra jate. So what is my disqualification? Ugra jate. I have taken birth in a demoniac family, right? So the magnitude, the gulf of difference between his position and their position is in the initial, out at the onset only he established it, right? He was not having a tinge of superiority complex for giving this privileged opportunity. He did not say, I will not offer prayers. He said, I will offer prayers. When Brahmaji said, you go and offer prayers or you go and try to please the Supreme Lord, he just did that in a humble mood. So many times, humility does not mean that we don't accept some important services or privileged services and we stick to only menial services or unnoticed services, right? Or which are not often chosen services. So we need not stick to them. That is not necessarily humility. Right? I'm just doing jhadu pocha. Others are not doing. By doing that menial service also one can become proud. He is not doing, I am doing. So I am humble, he is proud. That is your pride, not his pride. So like that. So it's basically not your consciousness decides whether you are humble or proud. It's not the nature of your activity. One can do a most privileged activity, service also, and still he can be in a humble mood. Prahlad Maharaj is doing the most privileged service here, but still he is so humble. Like that. So even by not coming forward for many, for some attention attracting service, one can still be proud. Like that. So here I am unqualified. How can I do this service? One may say like that, but that is not the case here. I will do this service, but I will not become proud, or I will not aspire to take credit for it. Like that. This is the consciousness which is set by Prahlad Maharaj right at the onset. Prabhupada speaks about humility of Vaishnava. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still actually thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers. So Kaviraj Goswami, at the age of 95, he wrote such a 9-volume great literature, which is Chaitanya Charitamrit. And he says, Jagai Madai Haite Muise Papishta. So I am more sinful than Jagai Madai. Right? So how can he be more sinful than Jagai Madai? But he actually is feeling so, but still he is attempting to do this service. In the 6th chapter he says, why he has attempted this? Because all the devotees at Govindji temple and then many other devotees, they have requested him. Vrindavan Das Thakur did not completely elaborate on all the pastimes of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He should elaborate. He should write. Because just to please all of them, just holding all their instructions on my head, I am attempting this. Like that. So otherwise I am not qualified, he says. So Prahlad Maharaj is also saying like that here. Mahajano yena gata sabandha. So one should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult, Prabhupada says. So one can choose services, one can do some privileged services when he is asked to do. Right? So one nice formula is, better always do unnoticed and menial services, and let's do privileged services when we are asked to do. Right? This is like nice thing we can apply. When someone is asked to do, when there is a need to do, we can always do. Right? It's not that one always is so eager to take the mic and then sing Mangal Arati. But when he is asked to do, he can always do it. Like that. And when there is no one to do, he can always do it. Like that. So, not doing a privileged service or attention attracting service doesn't mean it is humility. That's another point. Here, Chakravartipad is nicely pointing out how the sattva or praise, vachasam pravahai, of the demigods are not the cause of Lord's mercy. Here, Lord, because of Lord Narsingdev's mercy only, Prahlad Maharaj got this opportunity to praise him or please him. Right? So, other demigods are having this quality as of sattva and vachasam pravahai. They did not get this opportunity. So what is the conclusion? What is the inference? Sattva and vachasam pravahai, goodness and praise, are not the cause of Lord's mercy. Chakravartipad explains that. So possessing sattva is not the cause of your mercy. So what then, from Prahlad Maharaj's perspective, if possessing sattva is not the cause of your mercy, I am possessing tamas, ugrajate. How can I be an object of your mercy? Then second, praise. Simply praising you is not the cause of your mercy. They praised you with streams of words, vachasam pravahai, which are like fresh, cool, sweet, pure like water, right? Which are embellished with ornaments, literary suggestions, puruganaihi. But they were not able to satisfy. Aradhitum, na aradhitum. So, there is something else that you are looking for. So you are satisfied with me, although I am born in Ugrajati, who is possessing tamas. And you are not pleased with sattva. You are not pleased with vachasam pravahai. Right? And definitely tamasa, Ugrajati will not please you. So there is something else which is pleasing you. What is that? So that will come in the future verses. But before that, connecting that verse. What all other things that do not please you? That he explains in the 9th verse. Manyedhana bhijana rupa tapasrutaujas Tejah prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga Naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayuta paya Manyedhana bhijana rupa tapasrutaujas Tejah prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga Naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayuta paya So here Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Manye, I consider. So what is Prahlad Maharaj's opinion? He's saying, Dhana, wealth. Abhijana, followers, or aristocratic family, Prabhupada translates. Dhana, Abhijana, Rupa, the beauty, physical beauty. Tapa, great austerity. Shruta, great knowledge, which is received from Vedas. Ojas, sensory power. Tejas, bodily effulgence. Right? Prabhava, influence. Bala, bodily strength. Paurusha, diligence. Buddhi, intelligence. Yoga, mystic power. There are 12 items here. Manye, dhana, abhijana, rupa, tapa, sruta, ojas, tejas, prabhava, bala, paurusha, buddhi, yoga. There are 12 items here. All these 12 items will not please you. One may possess any of these 12 items, some of these 12 items, all of these 12 items, all of these 12 items in full. They cannot please you. Right? Naradhanaihi bhavanti. This will not pleasing to you. They cannot satisfy you with this. They cannot worship you with these qualities. These qualities are not qualifications for worshipping you. Right? Parasya pumso. So pumso is a person. Parasya pumso. You are a transcendental person. So you cannot be pleased with all these material qualifications. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Bhaktya. Only by bhakti you will be pleased. Gajayutapaya. Bhagavan. Oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Gajayotapaya and you are pleased by the king of elephants, Gajendra. Right? So Gajendra had devotional service. He offered his devotional prayers. That's why you are pleased. You are not pleased with the strength of elephant. Right? Strength of elephant cannot please you. So what will please you is the elephant's strength of bhakti. That will please you. So that's how he is saying, Manyedhana bhijana rupa tapasrutojas Tejah prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga Naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya So this is a proof here that our external activities or whatever big services that we do, right, or even great shastric study, becoming scholar. So all these are not pleasing. Manye dhana abhijana rupa tapa. We may do tapa. Shruta ojas. Shruta. We may be so much learned. So all this will not be pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is pleasing is the consciousness with which we do all those things. That consciousness is that of bhakti. So although we may have desires, but now I don't have this consciousness. I may not have this bhakti. I may have some of the other things to some extent. Right? I may have some buddhi, intelligence. Okay? I may have some tapa. I may do little austerity. I may have some rupa. So there could be a little amount of some material qualifications one may have. So one can still begin bhakti. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, although we may have desires for profits, adoration and distinction, right, still we continue to perform devotional service with a mood to please Krishna and eventually we will overcome our desires. We will try to develop that mood. It's not that overnight we'll develop this mood and then begin pure devotional service. But even though we have other desires, okay, even though we have only material qualifications and not many spiritual qualifications, still we can begin bhakti and eventually the process will purify.
Yes. So, Prabhupada explains from the purport that it is the verdict of all shastras that only bhakti can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by devotee service, Lord does not reveal himself. Naham prakash sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Right? So, actually this shastric study, studying Bhagavatam, is very important for us. So, it reminds us what is our position. It reminds us that our position is that of servant and Lord's position is that of master and controller. Otherwise, by doing so many other services only without the element of Sravanam Kirtanam, right, one may think that we are the doers and we are the controllers. Constant study of Shastra will inform us what Krishna is looking for. What is his position? What is our position? So Krishna is not looking for the magnitude of your operations, right? He is looking the mood in which you are operating, right? So he is looking for the mood. So neither by speculation nor by material qualifications can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, by saying this, what Prahlad Maharaj is indicating, I have a trace of bhakti by the mercy of Narada Muni. That must be pleasing to you. I think you are pleased by my little bhakti, which I obtained by Narada Muni. He is acknowledging Narada Muni there also. So, dhana abhijana rupa tapasruta, they are not pleasing to you. Sattva is not pleasing to you. Vachasam pravaha is not pleasing to you. So, you must be pleased with my bhakti. If you are pleased with Gajendra's bhakti, that is the same way you are getting pleased by my bhakti also, which I obtained only by Narada Muni. Like that. So this opulences, dhana, abhijana, this kind of material opulences and skills may impress the people of this world, but not the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is boldly declaring it here. So, one cannot buy the Lord with all these material qualifications, but one can buy the Lord with only bhakti. And bhakti does not depend on skills and opulences. Right, skills and opulences may be utilized in one's bhakti, but bhakti does not depend on them. Like that, if you have certain skill, you can engage that skill in performing certain devotional service. Dhana, abhijana, rupa. You have dhana, you can use it for building a temple or feeding some Vaishnavas. Right, but bhakti does not depend on your sponsoring for a temple. Temple will many ways manifest, whether you sponsor or not. So like that. So, Krishna was pleased by Vidura. He accepted the invitation of Vidura, not by Duryodhana. So, now, so dhana, abhijana, rupa, tapa, so that is all gone. So, what is pleasing to Krishna was Vidura's bhakti than Duryodhana's opulence, like that. So, bhakti can manifest in very typical situations, right? It can manifest in Prahlad Maharaj, who had a demoniac birth, who is the son of the topmost atheist, right, demon, and he was only 5 years old, but still it manifested in Prahlad Maharaj. So bhakti can manifest in Gajendra also, right? So Lord, the Supreme Lord has his individual evaluation and perfect judgment. He will evaluate you not on the basis of some external conditions. By seeing all external conditions, Prahlad Maharaj may be somebody may be disqualifying Prahlad Maharaj as a devotee. That's what Indra did. Indra thought that Kayadu is going to give birth to the son of Hiranyakasipu. He is a great demon. He will also be a great demon. That is the evaluation or the judgment of Indra and other demigods. But Narsingdev as the Supreme Lord will not have that kind of judgments. He will evaluate you individually and his judgment is perfect. Right? We tend to judge people based on externals when others commit mistakes, and we commit mistake by that. But if someone, one more thing, if someone has enmity towards us, we will brand everyone on his party to be our enemy. Like that. So,
Duryodhan did not have individual personal enmity towards all the people who are taking the side of Pandavas. Just because they have taken the side of Pandavas, all of them, he tried to kill all of them. Something like that. So there is no, when someone here, Hiranyakasipu, he is the greatest enemy of Lord Hari. But he is directly the son of Hiranyakasipu. Supreme Lord did not see him as another enemy. He is on his party. No, he is individually evaluating. Right? So he will see on that person's credit only. Not that on which party you are in. Like that. Same thing happens with Bhishma and other people who are taking the wrong side with, although they have bhakti. Like that. So even Parikshit Maharaj also, he did not condemn the entire Brahmana community just because one Brahmana cursed him. Like that. So demons are generally inimical towards devotees or demigods. So Lord can eliminate this demon also. Prahlad Maharaj. But although he is born as a demon, he is a great devotee. Lord recognized that. Bali Maharaj, Lord recognized that. So everyone who has taken the birth of a demon is my enemy. So Lord is not having that kind of quality. But demigods may sometimes have. Like that. So no one can understand the innermost heart of a person except Krishna. So our Prahlad Maharaj is having a demoniac birth, still he is properly and perfectly understood by Krishna, Narasimhadev, like that. Bharat Maharaj was misunderstood by everyone except Lord Ram. Lord Ram never misunderstood Bharat Maharaj. So the conclusion is, the only relation that can never be affected is our relationship with Krishna. Only person who will never misunderstand us is Krishna. Like that. And everyone has the equal opportunity to approach Krishna. So the sincerity of purpose is more important than the skill set. The skill set may include all these 12 items which are mentioned in this verse. But the fourth line, bhaktiya tutosha, that indicates sincerity. So this sincerity is more important than all the skills which are mentioned there. So now what else need to be said? So one should consider the presence or absence of bhakti. So bhakti is the element that pleases Narasimhadev. So that Prahlad Maharaj kind of established at this point. Now to more seriously and more deeply communicate this point, he is giving a nice example in the 10th verse. Vipradvishadgunayutadaravindanabha Padaravindavimukhat svapacham varishtham Manyetadarpitamano vachane hitartha Pranam punati sakulam natu bhurimana Vipradvishat gunayuta daravindanabha Padaravinda vimukhat svapacham varishtham Manyetadarpita mano vachane hitartha Pranam punati sakulam natu bhurimana.
If Brahmana has all 12 of the Brahmanical qualifications as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but it is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family. Whereas the so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself.
Viprad Vishad Gunayutad Aravindanabha. Viprad. So here Prahlad Maharaj is giving a comparison between Vipra and Svapacha. Vipra is a Brahmana with all the 12 qualifications. Dvishad Guna. Shad Guna is 6 gunas. Dvishad Guna means 2 into 6. 12 qualities. What are the 12 qualities that are mentioned in the footnote there? Following religious principles, speaking truthfully, controlling senses, and other things. Right? There is a verse also Prabhupada quotes. Jnanam cha satyam cha dhamasrutam cha in the next page. Right? So these are the 12 qualities of a vipra. So a vipra may have all these 12 qualifications. Vipra, dvishat, gunat, gunayutat, but padar aravinda nabha padaravinda vimukhad. If that vipra happens to be padaravinda vimukhad, if he is averse to the lotus feet of aravindanabha, lotus navel lord, so he will be inferior to swapacha, swapacham varishtham. A swapacha, a dog eater, will become more glorious than vipra if that vipra happens to be padaravinda vimukhad. Manye tadarpita mano vachane hitartha. And when will this swapacha will become glorious? When will he become superior to all this this vipra? Tadarpita mano vachana ihitartha. He surrenders. He just surrenders his mano, his mind, vachana, his words, ihita, all his activities. He just surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Pranam, his life. Punati sakulam natu bhuri manah. So, such a person who surrenders his everything, his words, mind, activities, wealth and life to the Supreme Lord, then he will become more glorious and he can purify his entire family also. And the other fellow will not purify even himself also. Vipra. Although he has 12 qualifications. Because he is vimukhat. Padaravinda vimukhat. Like that. So when appreciation comes from a person who has knowledge in that field, it is more valued. But the Lord is accepting glorification from anyone, even though that person does not have much knowledge here. So devotee, Prabhupada, the theme of Prabhupada's purport is devotee is better than everyone. So according to the statement of Prahlad Maharaj, vipra without bhakti is better than swapacha with bhakti. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj's statement has to be accepted, because he is one of the 12 Mahajans. Right? When we are reading Bhagavatam, this statement has to be given a lot of value. Like that. So Prabhupada speaks in many lectures that I am converting all these Yavanas and Yavanas, Western people, into Brahmanas. Right? And people are just making a big cry out of it. Right? They are saying ISKCON is not bona fide because they are converting Mlechas and Yavanas into Brahmanas. So, this kind of comments I get. But I am just following Shastra. See Prahlad Maharaj, what he says. Like that. So, central principle of Varnashram is to become a first-class pure devotee. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jatas Shastram tapas, Japas Tapaha Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. So, although one may be having a high birth, like of that of a Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, but if he is a non-devotee, all his good qualifications are zero, null and void. Just like decorating a dead body is of no value. Similarly, having great qualities without bhakti are of no value. Like that. Devotee born in a chandala family is better than a vipra. Not to speak of kshatriya and vaishya sudra. You see, here swapacha, many times considered outcast only. He is not a part of varnashram only. Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, and below them is this Chandalas. Right? So this Chandala will become above the highest of all the Varnashram. Okay, he becomes superior to Brahmana. Then he is obviously superior to Vaishya, Kshatriya and Shudra. Like that. That will be the position if one performs devotional service. And even Devahuti also says in her prayers in the third canto, Ahobata Swapajoto Gariyo Yajihva Kre Vartate Namatubhyam Te Pustapa Jehururarya. Like that. So Prabhupada also speaks about the 12 qualities of a first class Brahmana here. And Sridhar Swami says that these qualities without bhakti will only produce pride. Important. All these 12 qualities someone is having, then that will produce only bhakti. Here, vipra dvishat gunayuta aravinda nabha, when Prahlad Maharaj says this, Acharya says that these 12 qualities may be the 12 qualities of Brahmana, or it could be the 12 qualities mentioned in the previous verse. Right? So bhakti is more important than these 12 qualities or those 12 qualities. 24 qualities or 48 qualities, no problem. If there is no bhakti, all of them are useless. Like that. So, Prabhupada is speaking here. American and European devotees of Krishna consciousness movement. They are accepted as brahmanas. Caste brahmanas become envious of them. So answer to their envy is 7.9.10. Right? What Prabhupada says here. What Prahlad Maharaj is saying here. So, when a person from Mlecha or Yavana community takes up to devotional service, then he will purify the whole family. Pranam punati sakulam, Prabhupada says here. So Prabhupada gives an example. A devotee's mother was inquiring about Krishna at the time of death. Right? So that is a proof that they have purified their families, all these people, by accepting devotional service. It is theoretically true and has been practically proven that a devotee can give the best service to his family, community, society and nation. The foolish accuse that it is escapism. But a devotee is doing the greatest service to his family more than anyone else. He is not escaping. Like that. On the other hand, all those other people who may be having 12 qualities or 24 qualities, without bhakti, they will produce only pride. Similarly, when we do so many other services, without a mood of pleasing Guru or Krishna, induce only doership and pride in the person who is doing. So mood is more important than the magnitude of service, like that. So we accomplish anything in our devotional service only by the desire of a pure devotee. A pure devotee desired that this service has to happen. And Krishna sanctioned that pure devotee's desire. And we just happen to be around. Our contribution is just our free will to participate in it. Participate in the execution of a pure devotee's desire which is approved by Krishna. Like that. So we should feel fortunate for the opportunity for participation without seeking a recognition. So, and ultimately when we are doing some service, we are benefiting ourselves, not Krishna. Like that. So all these 12 qualities will only produce pride if he doesn't have bhakti. So we need to cultivate that bhakti element. Now, moving forward to the 11th verse. Now, Narasingadev may question. You are saying that someone who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, life, etc. to me, I am favorable to him only, and all other things, austerity, study of Vedas, they are all not pleasing to me. What do you think? Am I self-centered? Narasingadev may question like this, Prahlad Maharaj. Then, so when somebody is offering something to the Lord, and Lord is getting pleased by it, it does not mean that Lord is self-centered in accepting so many offerings for himself. Lord is being merciful in accepting the offerings of a devotee, and ultimately the devotee is benefiting himself only by offering. It's not that Lord is in need of that offering. That concept, Prahlad Maharaj explains in the 11th verse. Naivatmanah prabhurayam nijalabhapurno manam janada vidusha karuno vrunite yadyajjano bhagavate vidadhitamanam tachatmane pratimukhasya yathamukhashrihi naivatmanah prabhurayam nijalabhapurno manam janada vidusha karuno vrunite yadyajjano bhagavate vidadhitamanam tachatmane pratimukhasya yathamukhashrihi.
The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one If one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated.
So, naiva atmana prabhrayam nijalabha purno. So, naiva naiva atmana. Certainly, it is not for your benefit. When we are offering something to you, earlier the offering of what is that? Manye tadarpita mano vachane hitartha pranam. So, the arpita, the offering of mana vachana ihita pranam is mentioned. So, this is not for your benefit. Naivatmana prabhur ayam nijalabha purnu. It is for the benefit of the devotee who is offering, not for your benefit. Right? So, the one nice analogy is given. When somebody decorates his reflection in the mirror, what will happen? The person will become beautiful or what? No. But when the person himself is decorated, then the reflection will become beautiful. So you cannot beautify a person by decorating his reflection. Similarly, we, all of us, being the reflections of the Supreme Lord's energy, so we should offer everything to the Supreme Lord. We should serve the Supreme Lord. By our service to the Supreme Lord, we become beautiful. Or we become satisfied. The satisfaction that a devotee desires, derives, is through the service of Krishna, not by serving his own self. So that is the point communicated here. Even in the in Nabhi sacrifice, all the priests are there. They are saying, you have come, when we do this sacrifice, you have come just as if you are curious to know what's happening here. Right? You are not curious. You are not coming for your benefit. We are offering sacrifice so for our own benefit so that we can receive benedictions from you. You are not in need of this sacrifice. Like that. So Prabhupada elaborates on that only. So surrender to Krishna is for our benefit, not for him. We do so 9 processes of bhakti. These are not meant for Lord's benefit. The Lord is always glorious, whether the devotee glorifies him or not. Whether we serve him or not, Lord is always glorious. But if the devotee engages in glorifying the Lord, the devotee himself automatically becomes glorious. Like that, it's for our benefit. There are so many devotees in the spiritual world. Right? We heard in the 3rd canto, 15th chapter, the description of Kingdom of God. Yat sankulan haripadanati matra drishtair vaidhurya marakata hemamayar vimane yesham brahat kaditada smita shobhimukya krishnatmanam na raja adadhurutsmayadir. There are so many devotees in the spiritual world who are constantly absorbed in the service of the Supreme Lord and glorification of the Supreme Lord. Although they have hundreds of facilities and some concerts next to them, they are not distracted by all those facilities. They are just focused on the Supreme Lord's glory, right, glorification and service. So Lord is receiving such beautiful service from all the residents of spiritual world. Then what is that? Lakshmi. Sammarjativa spatika kudya upeta hemni. What is that? Sri Rupini Konayati Charanaramindam Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha. So although the floors are clean, Lakshmis, thousands of goddesses of fortune, they are sweeping the floors. So Lord is getting uninterrupted service with full absorption, which is offered with full absorption and full desire to serve. And here are a bunch of sadhakas who are supposed to be forced for doing any small service, right? Who have no willingness to do service, who are always looking forward, when will this service end? When will I end my chanting? When will I end my hearing? Right? So that I can do my other things. Why he has to descend and accept service from this kind of people? If somebody has a multinational company, he's earning millions and billions of dollars in USA, and he has some small branch of it in Galtare, whose annual turnover is just 500 rupees. Why he has to spend time here to come and then spend time with all the office people here, right? Employees here. It's out of his mercy. Supreme Lord is getting so many services which are performed in an uninterrupted way, unmotivated way in the spiritual world. But he descends into this material world to accept our offerings, our services. Right? Although they are not up to the mark. Right? They are no way in comparison to the services that he is receiving in the spiritual world. But still, he is coming only to accept our offerings.
like that. Once many years back, Gauram Prabhu gave one class. There he was saying, when all the people, devotees are standing in Mangala Arati and then singing and dancing, it's like a bunch of dustbins or, you know, bags of some stool and urine, bones, mucus, bile, that is just jumping up and down. For this pure spiritual personality, Krishna, to accept service from a soul who is entrapped in this horrible material body, he is doing so much austerity to accept service from all of us. Right? So, but still he does it out of his own mercy. Right? So, offerings are for our benefit. The Lord is always glorious, whether the devotee glorifies him or not. But if the devotee engages in glorifying the Lord, the devotee himself will become glorious. We are decorating the Supreme Lord so that we become beautiful. By decorating ourselves, we will not become beautiful. That is the analogy here. Prabhupada also speaks about Chetodarpana Marjanam. By glorifying the Lord's name constantly, it's not that Lord's fan following, we are increasing Lord's fan following. He already has a lot of fans. He already has so many followers on their Twitter, many fans on Facebook page, but he doesn't need more. Right? He has unlimited already. Unlimited, if you add 10 more, it doesn't make much difference. But by doing that, by becoming his fan, so we are becoming purified. Cheto darpana marjanam is happening. It's for our benefit. Understand that he does not belong to material world, but is a spirit soul. We need to understand like that. Blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. Bhava mahadava agni nirvapanam. By Cheto darpana marjanam. By holy name. So Krishna's order is 18.66. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. This demand is not for the benefit of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why he is demanding? Why he is begging from us? Right? He has a lot. Still he is wanting from us. This is for the benefit of human society, not for Krishna's benefit. If human beings individually and collectively surrender everything to Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness, all the human society will benefit. Not that Krishna will benefit. One who does not dedicate everything to the Supreme Lord is avidusha, a rascal, Prabhupada says. Namam dushkritano mudha. So the conclusion is, the more we engage in Krishna consciousness and render service to the Lord, the more we benefit. Krishna does not need service from any of us. Prabhupada is repeatedly saying this. So beautifying a reflection does not produce a beautiful reflection. Beautifying a reflection does not produce a beautiful reflection. Beautifying the object that is being reflected will make the reflection beautiful. Like that. Now, Prahlad Maharaj initially began saying, all these people could not please you, but I will please you. He began with a doubt. Then he said, all these qualities will not please you, only bhakti will please you. Okay, if even a chandala has a bhakti, he will please you more than a vipra who has 12 qualities, right? So with bhakti, if one offers you something, he will only get benefited. So with this conviction, he is making up mind to offer prayers. So in the 11th verse, he says, my confusion is gone. Since you are pleased by bhakti and not by good birth or wealth, and since respecting you is beneficial for me, I will praise your glories, although I am a low-born person. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj decided to offer prayers from here. From 12th verse he is saying, Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya sarvatmana mahigrinami yathamanisham nichojaya guna visargamanu pravishta Puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnitena Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya Sarvatmana mahigrinami yathamanisham Nichojaya guna visargamanu pravishta Puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnitena
Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories.
So tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya. Vigata viklava means in 8th verse I have declared that I am unqualified. Ugrajate. Kim toshtum arhati same harir ugrajate. But in the 12th verse I am saying aham vigata viklava. I have given up the contemplation of being unfit. I am unfit, I accept, but I give up that thought and then continue to praise you. Right? Ishvarasya. Sarvatmana, in full surrender. Mahigrinami, I will glorify you. Right? Yathamanisham. Yathamanisham is important as far as my intelligence allows me. Tathapi kirtayamayanga yathamati yathashrutam kirtim harem satkartum gram manyabhita asatim. Right? One needs to understand his inferior position. One needs to understand that he is low and he is unfit. Still, he can attempt to serve the Lord or glorify the Lord as far as his intelligence allows him. Yatha manisham. He may be vigata viklava. He may be unfit, but he has to give up that thought and then start serving the Lord and glorifying the Lord. Yatha manisham. Then, what will happen by doing so? So one, if one offers prayers as far as his intelligence takes him, such praying and hearing purifies the living entity in samsara. Puyeta yena hi puman anuvarnitena. Puyeta means purified. Yena hi puman anuvarnitena. The puyeta will happen by anuvarnan. By glorification of the Supreme Lord, purification will happen. With that hope, I will glorify you yatha manisham, as far as my intelligence allows. Like that. Now, bhakti is offered according to one's capacity. Lord is not performance conscious. He is mood conscious. Right? So, if the consciousness is proper, performance will automatically manifest. So, he doesn't see the magnitude or efficiency of the service. He sees the mood of service. So, a squirrel may just push some pebbles only to build the bridge. Somebody like Hanuman can just break big mountains and boulders and then put in the water. But he is pleased with both endeavors because both are doing their best. Like that. So if skills and efficiency are there, that's an extra advantage in one's service. But if that doesn't, if that becomes a source of pride, that becomes a greatest disadvantage. Like that. So, yatha manisham, as far as my intelligence allows, as far as my capacity allows. Like that, better being a illiterate menial servant than a scholarly, puffed up performer. Right? So, Lord is not performance conscious, he is like more mood conscious. So, the basis of rendering service is, one need not be rich or have high birth or aristocratic or beautiful. With devotion, one should feel that God is great. I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. So, with this consciousness, one has to serve the Lord. So, this conclusion can be arrived at by using little common sense. You need not be a great detective to come to this conclusion. But conditioned soul takes millions of lifetimes to come to this conclusion. Right, and even after knowing this conclusion, to put it in action, he takes million more lifetimes, like that. So God is great. Any confusion? Anyone can understand this. And I am very small. Everyone has this understanding. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord or serve the Lord. This is very difficult, like that. Bhaktyama abhijanati. By devotional service, one can understand Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada quotes that. Now. So Prahlad Maharaj has made up his mind to offer prayers. Now 13th verse, he is saying, Sarvehyami vidhikrita stava sattva dhamno Brahmadayo vayam aveshacha chodvijanta Kshemaya bhutaya uttama Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasyam Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai Sarvyehyami vidhikritas tava sattvadhamno Brahmadayo vayami veshacha chodvijanta Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasyam Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai
O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe.
So here, actually demigods are fearful. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, all the demigods headed by Brahma are sincere servants. They are your sincere servants, right? And they are not like us. Means all these demigods are your sincere servants and we are different. Okay, we are demons. Myself and my father are demons. So your appearance is for your pastime, right? For your pleasure. For your protection and prosperity of the universe. So because they are sincere servants of you, they are not afraid of you. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac. Here, this Prahlad Maharaj, although he is chosen to do this privileged service of offering prayers, in the initial verse, he declared that he is inferior to the demigods. And again, when he made up his mind to offer prayers, again he is declaring, right? I am inferior to them. They are not fearful like us. Right? We are fearful. Right? So, he is not having a feeling of superiority over the demigods. He was reminding himself of his so-called fallen position, right? Actually, one should always be in this mood. So even His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says that one should always think oneself very low, like a blade of grass. One should be humbler than a blade of grass. So somebody asked for an explanation and then Maharaj explained that, why should I think that I am so low? Like a grass, I am worse than everyone. Why should one think that I am worse than everyone? Everyone is superior to me. Am I so worse than a prostitute hunter or a drunkard? At least I am following four regulative principles, right? So, what should make me feel that I am so low than others? So the answer was, I am just more fortunate than them, right? I am actually inferior to all the prostitute hunters and drunkards also, although I am following four regulative principles, because I am just more fortunate than them. If I am not given this opportunity to practice devotional service, I would be worse than them. I would be doing worser than them. Like that. That makes this statement could inspire one to think that I am low. Like that. It's very difficult. So, one more point, apart from expressing his low position, Prahlad Maharaj also is speaking about Lord's appearance, incarnation. The purpose of Lord's incarnation is for his own pleasure and for the protection and prosperity of the universe. Like that. These are the two functions of an incarnation. So, now what Prahlad Maharaj is indicating here is, so your pastimes, your appearance is meant for your pleasure, then it is meant for the prosperity of the universe, protection of the universe. It is not meant to create any fearful situation in your devotees. Right? So you should give up anger.
Your anger is creating fear now. So Prahlad Maharaj is suggesting Narasingdev. Your anger is creating fear now, but your actual appearance is meant for protection and prosperity of the universe. It is meant for your pleasure. But by being angry, even after the demon is killed, you are creating some fearful situation. So please give up your anger. So actually devotees are not fearful of the Supreme Lord, whether he comes as Narasingdev or Varahadev, but because they are very simple and faithful, they are afraid of this fierce incarnation. Out of their simplicity and faith, they are becoming fearful. It's not that they are technically fearful. This is Prahlad Maharaj's opinion. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is requesting Narasingdev in the next verse that you should give up your anger. Since you have already protected your world, protected the world by killing Hiranyakasipu, you need not be anger. Your anger is no longer needed. So, better come back to normal. That he suggests in 14th verse.
Tadyachamanyamasurascha hatastvayadya modeta sadhurapi vrischika sarpahatya lokascha nivrutimitaha pratiyanti sarve rupam rusimha vibhavaya janasmaranti.
My Lord Narasimhadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear.
So now you don't have to be angry anymore and everyone is happy because Hiranyakasipu is killed. And you came to kill Hiranyakasipu and that mission is accomplished. So you need not become angry now. You can be Shanta. And why others are happy? Because Hiranyakasipu is killed. How can, when someone is killed, how can someone be happy? Answer is given here. Modeta sadhurapi vrishchika sarpa hatya. Vrishchika when a scorpion, or sarpa when a snake, hatya when it is killed. Modeta sadhurapi, even sadhus, saintly persons also become happy by the death of a demoniac person. So it's not that they are rejoicing someone else's distress, but because the person is like a sadhu, is like a sarpa or vrischika, scorpion or snake, who unnecessarily become envious of others, and Hiranyakasipu is worse than a scorpion or snake, that's why his death is giving all of them pleasure. Now they are happy. So you appeared for what? For your pastime, your pleasure, and for the prosperity and protection of the universe. You did these two. So now you don't have to be angry. So cease your anger. He says that. So after this, just by remembrance of this form, the demons will become frightened and die. So now you are fearful, right? You are so fierce. So by remembering this form, all the demons will die in future, right? So one murder will lead to all future murders of demons, right? And will cause security to all the future devotees. Insecurity for future demons, security to future devotees. Chand Kazi, right? He was also, you know, fearful of Narasingadev. That's why he just allowed. So all the demoniac people are given warning. Like that. Yes, Prabhu. Mr. N. Juhu. Modeta sadhurapi vrishchika sarpahatya. Good. Now, shall we take a break? We'll take a break. Varadagopal Prabhu doesn't need, but others need. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. He's going there. Where are you going? Naham bibhyam yajidate eti bhayanakasya. Naham bibhyam yajidate eti bhayanakasya. Jihvarka netra bhrukuti rabhasogra damstrat. Antrasraja kshatajake shara shankhu karnan. Nirhrada bhita digibhad ati aribhinna khagrat. Naham bibhem yajitate ti bhayanakasya. Jihvarka netra bhrukuti rabhasogra damstrat. Antrasraja kshatajake shara shankhu karnan. Nirhrada bhita digibhad aribhinna khagrat.
My lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, whiz-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephant flees to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies.
So, Naham Bibhemi, here in the 14th verse, he said, please cease anger. So, you need not create any fearful situation for the devotees, and the purpose of your anger, which is killing the demon, is also fulfilled. So, you need not be angry. But I am not afraid of your fearful form. In 15th verse, he is saying that. Naham bibhemi ajitate, ajita, o person who is not conquered by anyone. Ati bhayanakasya, your most fearful form, which has all these features. Jihvarka netra bhrukuti rabhasogra damstrat. Your bhayanakasya, you are having very fearful asya, mouth, jihva, tongue, arka netra, eyes shining like arka, sun. Bhrukuti, frowning eyebrows. Then rabhasogra damstrat, ferocious teeth. Then antrasrajaha. Antrasrajaha is the garland of intestines. Krishna wears vanyasrajaha. Narasingha wears antrasrajaha. So garland of intestines. Antrasrajaha kshataja keshara shankhu karanan. Your kshataja keshara is like bloody manes, the hair. Right? And shankhu karanan, wedge like ears. Nirharada, by the roaring sound that can cause terror in the hearts of elephants also. Bhita, frightened, digibhid, from which even elephants get fearful. Aribhit nakhagrat, tips of piercing nails, tips of your nails.
So beautifully he described the whole form and he said, I am not fearful of this form. Right? So this is Ati Bhayanakasya, but still, no bhaya for me. Naham bibhemi Ati Bhayanakasya. The form is Ati Bhayanakasya, but naham bibhemi. I am not fearful of that. Like that. So Narsingdev's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for non-devotees, not for devotees. Right? So here, Prabhupada is giving many beautiful examples. Lion is very fearsome for other animals, but for the cub of a lion, so the cub is not fearful of the lion. Yes, go ahead. We have an image of a cub. So the cub there, interestingly, seemingly, it's kind of making fun of... it looks like that. No other animal can do that with a lion. Right? But a cub can do. Cub can fall on the... Yeah, this is another interesting picture. Elephants can drown in seawater. Right? Go ahead. Yeah. So, but a small fish can very easily swim in seawater. Right? Elephants will drown. Sea is fearful for elephants. But sea is not fearful for small fish. Right? Because fish has taken the shelter of the water. Cub is so dear to the lion. Right? So they are not fearful of the lion or seawater. But non-devotees, they are fearful. So Prahlad Maharaj, being a devotee, he is not afraid of Lord's Bhayanaka form. But non-devotees are afraid. So great elephants are taken away by flooding waters of a river. The small fish can swim opposite the current. Opposite the current. Although Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill Dushkritis, devotees worship him. Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Yesterday you must have sang this. So now he declares that I am not fearful. But what are you fearful of? He declares in the 16th verse. Prahlad Maharaj, in the 16th, he is representing the devotees in the 15th verse and saying that devotees are not fearful of your fearful form. But in the 16th verse, he represents the conditioned souls and says that I am put in the life of asuras, in the family of demons, right? Because of the result of my past karma. Therefore, when will you be pleased to call me to massage your lotus feet, which are giving release from samsara? Right? Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents the conditioned souls and says that I am just transmigrating because of my karma. I am fearful of this material world. I am not fearful of your form, but I am fearful of this material world. That is the theme of 16th verse. Trastosmyaham kripanavatsala dussahogra. Samsara chakra kadanad grasatam pranita. Baddhasva karma bhirushattama tenghrimolam. Preetopavarga sharanam vayasekadanum. Trastosmyaham kripanavatsala dussahogram. Samsara chakra kadanad grasatam pranita. Baddhasva karma bhirushattama tenghrimolam. Preetopavarga sharanam vayasekadanum.
O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life?
Yes, trastosmyaham. So I am not, naham bibeti, naham bibemi, he said. He began, I am not fearful of your ati bhayanakasya form. But here, trastosmi, I am frightened.
O Kripanavatsala, of what? Dussahogra samsara chakra. Dussahogra. Dussaha means intolerable. Ugra means very ferocious. What? Not Narasimhadev's form. Samsara chakra. This wheel of samsara. I am fearful of that. Samsara chakra katanat gasatam pranitaha. Being thrown into this samsara chakra, which made me take birth in the demoniac family. I am afraid of that samsara. Prahlad Maharaj says that. Baddhasva karma bhir. Why this happens? Why a living entity is thrown in samsara? Because baddhasva karma bhir. By his own activities, he is bound in this samsara. Usattama tengri moolam prito pavarga sharanam. Vayase kadanu. So when will you call me to give shelter at the lotus feet? Usattama tengri moolam. So your great insurmountable angri moolam, the soles of your lotus feet, when will I be able to take shelter there? When will you call me there? Prito, by being pleased with me. Apavarga sharanam. Vayase kadanu. When will you call me to give shelter? So I am afraid of this samsara. Please give me shelter at your lotus feet. So here, this indicates devotee has a healthy fear of Maya and material existence, but he has no fear from whatever way Lord presents himself. Okay, Lord may present himself in front of a devotee as fearful Narasimhadev form or as a fearful situation. He is not afraid of all that, but he is afraid of Maya. So why living entity is put into this material world? Baddha svakarma bhir. So because of his own activities. Right? Being in the material world is certainly miserable. But certainly when one is put into the association of asuras or atheistic men, it is intolerably so. Prahlad Maharaj says, here being in material world, samsara chakra is definitely very fearful. But dussahogra, it is even more intolerable, especially if you have to take birth in the association of non-devotees, demons. He took birth in the family of asuras. How intolerable it is for a devotee to be in the people who are saying that Hari is your enemy. Right? It's very intolerable. Prahlad Maharaj was referring to that. So actually Prahlad Maharaj is not afraid of the samsara chakra that he will reveal in 43rd verse. Okay. So living entity is put in this material world by svakarma bhir, by his own activities, not Lord. Some people will blame Lord. Aray, Lord is not giving me certain facilities. He is making me undergo so many difficulties. If it is not working, Prabhu, close this. No need. It's distracting, I think. So baddha svakarma bhir usattama tengri moolam. So Lord is kripana vatsala. So Lord is very merciful and he does not put a living entity into the samsara chakra. Living entity is put into the samsara chakra by svakarma bhir, by his own activities, right? But Lord is kripanavatsala. He is not putting. And one more thing is, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, when will you call me to give shelter at your lotus feet? So Prabhupada says, one has to be very eager to go back to Godhead, to serve the Lord eternally in the spiritual world. So one has to be eager for it, like that. So Narasimhadev, my question, you are asking me to give shelter at my lotus feet. So what will you do by serving my feet? Just now I killed your father. So much enjoyment is there here. Right? Please enjoy the happiness of the three worlds which are related to Pitris. So he said, I killed your father, all his opulence is at your disposal, you can enjoy. Why are you asking for my lotus feet? Now, 17th verse, he says, Yasmat pariya priya viyoga samyoga janma Shokagnina sakalayo nishudahyamana Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham asadhyaham Bhuman Brahmami Vadabe Tavadasya Yogam Yasmat Priya Priya Viyoga Samyoga Janma Shokagnina sakalayo nishudahyamana Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkhamasaddhiyaham. Bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam.
Because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service.
Mm. So, I am not interested in, staying in this material world and enjoying the material opulences. I need your shelter. Because in this material world, a person's position is very regrettable. Because he is constantly meeting dualities. Yasmat priya apriya, pleasant and unpleasant. Viyoga samyoga, union and separation. Janma shokagnena sakala yonishu dahyamana. And this kind of dualities of viyoga samyoga priya apriya are not happening only to one category of living entities. Sakala yonishu dahyamana. All the living entities in all species of life are just being burnt in these dualities. Right? Shokagnina, in lamentation. Right? That's how their life is. And if someone wants some remedial measure to come out of this regrettable and lamentable condition, dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham. Dukkha aushadam, the aushada, the medicine for dukkha or the remedy for dukkha is api dukkham, is even more distressful, more difficult than the remedy, than the dukkha itself. So the remedy for misery is more miserable than the misery. Like that. Then atadhiya, why this is happening? By accepting the body as oneself. So bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam. Oh my Lord, great Lord, Narasimhadeva. Brahmami, I am just wandering in this material world. So, vadame tavadasya yogam. Vadame, please speak. Please instruct me. In what? Tavadasya yogam. In the activities of your service. So, please instruct me how to serve you. So, I am just wandering in this material world, which is, and meeting priya, apriya, viyoga, samyoga, soka, agni, dahyamana. So please instruct me in your service. So the nature of the material world is the real remedy for miseries is even more miserable. So the real remedy for all miseries is what Prahlad Maharaj is aspiring for here, to engage in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. Not to inherit the dead father's material opulence. So inheriting my father's material opulence is not the remedy for misery. It is even more miserable. So what is remedy is Lord's service. So by thinking that still I am happy even in the body of a pig, I wander about. Chakravartva says, please tell me the method of being your servant. So whether somebody is in heaven or hell or wherever, whether he becomes a rich man or a poor man. So, poor man may have some financial problems. Right? He may have to clear debts, maybe 200 rupees or 250 rupees. That may be the magnitude of his debt. But for a rich man who is in an upper middle class or some rich family, he may have debts of 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs, 1 crore, like that. Somebody who is a CEO, he may have some 10 crores, 20 crores debts. Right? According to his status in this material world, the magnitude of problems also will multiply. Right? So I can personally say, my father had so many loans when in my childhood when he was getting only 3,000 rupees per month. So now, after 20 years of service, even his salary became 50,000 or 60,000, still he had more debts.
because he wanted to acquire some own house, right? So basically, as long as one is in the material world, he is constantly a devotee or a person, a conditioned soul is constantly seeking certain facilities. Along with the facilities comes a lot of miseries, right? And even if he has full opulence at his disposal, there is another important argument. Material body is constantly in disease, right? Even if he has access to opulence, he cannot enjoy that opulence because he is having body is full of diseases, right? At any point, some disease may come and attack. Okay, so the wife may make some sweet rice, but this fellow has diabetes and he can't eat. So that is the nature of this material world. If one wants uncontaminated pleasure of blissful life, he must engage himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Right. So, but if one chants holy name, then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Even in this material world, a devotee can experience happiness if he chants the holy name like that. So Prabhupada speaks about the nature of material opulence, which is temporary, then illusion of the entire world, happy by material advancement to contract miseries or conditioned life, but this attempt will never be successful. So ISKCON is giving training to the humanity to engage in service of the Lord. No happiness in changing one's material conditions. Everywhere there is trouble or misery. So Prabhupada concludes the purport like that. Then 18th verse. So now Narasimhadev may say, though you attain my service, you are asking for service in the 17th verse. So though you attain my service, still you should seek some other solution also to contract some miseries of life, material life. Right? So Prahlad becomes little angry and proud. But you are asking again to seek some remedial misery. I will just chant your glories in parampara and then cross over this material ocean. He says that in 18th verse. Very nice verse. Soham priyasya suhruda paradevataya Leela kathastavan rishimha virincha gita Anjasti tarmyanugrahan gunavi pramukto Durgani te pada yuga alaya hamsa sangha. Soham priyasya suhruda paradevataya. Leela kathastavan rishimha virincha gita. Anjasti tarmyanugrinan gunavi pramukto. Durgani te pada yuga alaya hamsa sangha. Soham priyasya suhruda paradevataya. Leela kathastavan rishimha virincha gita. Anjasti tarmyanugrinan gunavipramukto. Durgani te pada yuga alaya hamsa sangha.
My Lord Narasimhadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nisans.
Soham priyasya suhruda paradevataya leela kathastamarisimha virincha gita. So, I will glorify you, okay, O paradevata suhruda, leela kathastamarisimha. My Lord, I will glorify your activities in what? Virincha gita means as given by Brahma and disciplic succession. Right? In the disciplic succession of Brahma. So I will glorify you. Then Anjas Titarmi Anugrunan Gunavipramukto. So I can easily by
I can easily cross over this material ocean by anugrinan, by constantly describing your gunavik pramukto, so your uncontaminated, by constantly describing your glories, Leela Kathas, Guna Vipramukto, I will become uncontaminated by modes, gunas. Here this guna is referring to the modes of material nature, not the qualities of the Lord. Durganite Padayugalaya Hamsa Sangha. Then I will cross over by the association of devotees. Right? Durgani, all miserable conditions of life. Padayugalaya Hamsa Sangha. By being fully absorbed in Padayugalaya, in the association of devotees, Hamsa Sangha, I will cross over this material ocean. Like that. So Prabhupada in this purport is speaking about how one should glorify the Supreme Lord by hearing and chanting His holy name and His activities in by following the parampara. This is the power of parampara. By following the parampara, if one glorifies the Lord, then he will easily cross over this material ocean. So manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. Mental speculation, by which one tries to invent some means to understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is all not effective. So there are many other, Prabhupada glorifies this process of following in the footsteps of Acharyas. Very powerful, easy, effective, best process. Then God realization and self realization becomes very easy. Like liberation from contamination of modes will happen. So all these like bullet points are there in the PowerPoint, you can take there. How to be happy? Prabhupada says, advancing in spiritual life will involve some tapasya, voluntarily accepting some inconveniences. Right? But by voluntarily accepting inconveniences in the process of devotional service, by wearing only one color cloth, or by having only one kind of hairstyle, or by eating such sattvic food, or whatever. So many austerities are there. And the conveniences that the material world is accessing, that a devotee may not access to, right? But still, this austerity is much more easier compared to the attempts of the materialists to counteract the material miseries. Prabhupada says, a materialist will try to counteract the material miseries through many means. Right? A devotee performs so much austerity. Right? But this inconvenience is much easier, much better than that inconvenience. They are also undergoing a lot of inconvenience to counteract miseries. But our undergoing certain inconvenience or austerity to counteract miseries is much more effective and easier also. And happier also. Now, 19th verse. 19th verse is very important verse. Balasya neha saranam pitarau nrisimha. Nartasya chagadamudan vati majjanontav. Taptasya tat pratividur yaihanja cheshtas. Tavad vibhotanu bhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha saranam pitarau nrisimha. Nartasya chagadamudan vati majyatonauho. Taptasya tat pratividur yaihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhotanu bhritam tvadupekshitanam. So here Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Balasya na iha sharanam pitaro nrisimha. So for a bala, a child, pitaro, his parents, cannot protect him. Na say, neha sharanam pitaro nrisimha. In this world, parents cannot protect a child. Na artasya cha. Cha gadam. So agadam means medicine. Artasya means a diseased fellow. So for someone who is suffering from a disease, medicine cannot protect him. Or a doctor cannot protect him. Udanvati majjato nauhu. Udanvati, a ocean, right? Majjato, a person when he is drowning in the ocean, now means a boat cannot save him. Boat cannot save a drowning person.
Doctor or medicine cannot save a diseased person. Parents cannot save a child. Right? So, taptasya tat pratividhur yai hanja sheshtas tavat vibho tanubhritam tadupekshitanam. Taptasya. Taptasya means a person undergoing constant misery. Tat pratividhur, the counteraction is not possible if tvadupekshitanam, if that person is neglected by Lord Narasimha. Tavat vibho tanubhritam tadupekshitanam. So only shelter is you. Someone who is neglected by you will not be protected by any means. Like that. So, 19th verse purport. So, Prabhupada says there are no guaranteed measures for protection. Only shelter is Supreme Lord's mercy. So, what is suggested here is one should fully depend on the causeless mercy of the Lord. That doesn't mean he does nothing. He'll just sit there. Okay, no endeavor for food. Food will automatically come. Prabhupada says that if a tiger or lion just sits there opening his mouth, deer will not come and enter his mouth. He may come and pass urine and go. But it will not enter the mouth. So lion has to endeavor to hunt and then take some food. So similarly, as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. If someone is suffering from disease, you should go to doctor and then take medicine. Right? You should admit in Sevastan. You should admit in Bhaktivedanta. So they are all not excluded in this verse. Right? But one should understand that no one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Lord. So we should not become an object of neglect by Narasimhadev. We should become an object of compassion and mercy of Narasimhadev. And ultimately, he will only protect through the medium of doctor or anyone like that. So in the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering the real sufferings of material world. So our humble attempt is to propagate Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tvadupekshitanam. And Prabhupada says, Tvadupekshitanam. Why will the Lord neglect if you act against his will? If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy in this material world. Whether in the heavenly planets or in Patal Loka or Bhuloka, wherever, we will never be happy if we keep displeasing the Father. What will displease him? If we act against his instructions. In Bhagavad Gita, he gave so many instructions. In Bhagavatam, he gave so many prescriptions. If we act against his instructions, right, turning our face away from him and then absorbed in material life, he is not very much happy. Especially when someone offends a devotee, he will become all the more displeased. So by doing so many acts that are displeasing to the Supreme Father, one will never be happy in this world. Then 20th verse. Yasmin yato yarhi yena cha yasya yasmad. Yasmai yatha. Yadutayas tvaparah parova bhavah karoti vikaroti prithak svabhava sanchoditas tadakhilam bhavatasvarupam yasmin yato yarhiye nachayasya yasmad Yasmai yatha yadutaryas tvaparah parova bhavah karoti vikaroti prithak svabhava sanchoditas tadakhilam bhavatah svarupam.
Everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, work under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy, the cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal. all are nothing but manifestation of your energy.
Hmm.
Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestation of you.
So this verse is giving a big message. Everything in simply saying, everything is a manifestation of Lord's energy. Now you see, there are so many grammatical forms here. Yasmin, in any condition of life, right? Yato, because of anything. Yerhi, yena, yasya, yasmad, yasmai, yatha, yad. Right? Means whoever, whatever, whenever, wherever. So all these different grammatical forms are primarily referring to Krishna. Even Vasudeva also, in 10th canto, all the Vrajvasis come and meet Krishna in Kurukshetra. And all Kurukshetra they go, and so many sages also come. It's somewhere in 83rd, 84th chapter. There, all the sages start glorifying Krishna so much. Then Vasudeva and Devaki are imbued with reverential feelings. However much you may glorify Krishna in front of Nanda and Yashoda, Nanda and Yashoda will never develop any reverential mood towards Krishna. But sometimes Vasudeva and Devaki will develop some reverence. So after coming back from Kurukshetra, Vasudeva was in still, all the prayers of sages were there in his mind. Right? He was, after coming back also, Vasudeva was glorifying Krishna, left, right, center. So one of such verses in his glorification, Vasudeva's glorification of Krishna is similar to this. Yasmin yato yarhi yena cha yasya yasmad. Right? Yasmai yatha. Means, here the acharyas make a very interesting comment there. All the grammatical forms are mentioned there, are used in connection with Krishna. Means any object or any person in this entire creation, cosmic manifestation, is primarily related with Krishna. So all the grammatical forms in Sanskrit grammar or any language grammar should primarily refer to Krishna, primarily. So before getting related to or connected with anything else, everything in this entire cosmic manifestation is primarily related with Krishna. There's one more inference we can make. Right? So, yasmin, at any time, everything is manifestation of Lord's energy only. Means his first connection is with him. A small child is there. So, if someone has to identify who is that child, immediately the mention of his parents have to come. Right, his primary connection at that level is primarily with his parents. As he grows up, his identification could be with a school, as a student, or his standard, 6th standard, 7th standard, like that. As he grows more, then as a graduate, as a postgraduate. If he grows even more, as an employee of a certain company. So many designations are there. So as time progresses, his connection with other things, other objects or other places or other people of this material world will change as time progresses. But in the whole scale of eternity, at any given point of time, every living entity or every object, material energy or spiritual energy, everything is primarily connected with Krishna. Right? Then only all the secondary connections and relations will manifest. Like that. All the grammatical forms will primarily refer to Krishna. When you take a small, you take up this glass, so it is made of, say, earth. Right? So, we need to first, as Bhagavatam students, we need to first identify its connection with Krishna. Right? This earth is a energy of Krishna. Right? Water is there. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So, primarily, one has, primarily everything, every element or every person is connected with Krishna. To be conscious of everything's primary relation with Krishna is Krishna consciousness. Like that. So this verse and the 10th canto verse by Vasudev, so they indicate that. Everything is first mentioned in connection with Krishna. Now, Prabhupada in this purport is speaking about working according to Lord's direction. Right? Here, everybody's goal, he says, right? The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life, they have considered final, and the process of obtaining goal, everything is Krishna only. Right? If you have to give a description of what is this, first description should be, it is energy of Krishna. Right? It is a place manifested by Krishna. It is a peace manifested by Krishna. Like that. So Prabhupada says, when we are working, that has to be according to Krishna's direction. Right? So super soul gives inspiration for action according to one's mentality. Now, if everything is primarily connected with Krishna, everything has to move according to his direction or his action, or everything is what he wants only. Why so many varieties of things are happening here, which even Krishna may not want? Basically, Krishna... So, Prabhupada says here that super soul gives inspirations according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Different people may act in different ways. So super soul is just sanctioning. Because everyone has a different goal of life according to his mentality, according to his use of his independence or free will. So everyone acts differently and Lord is guiding them. Right? But ultimately Lord wants everyone to perform devotional service. So, esmin yato yerhi yena cha yasya yasmat. All activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by living entity and fulfilled by Lord's mercy. So, now Prabhupada speaks about this sarupena avasthiti. Means, the real description of mukti or liberation from material bondage is to be situated in one's original constitutional position. That is Svarupena Avasthiti. If one is situated in his Svarupa, then he will act in accordance with Lord's will. Otherwise, he will be also be a part of Lord's energy and Lord's infrastructure only, but he will act against his Lord's will. And that infrastructure is not Svarupa, as not Lord personal Svarupa. Like that. Now, 20th verse he is saying like that, Lord may question, if I am the form of everything, then I am also samsara. Right? Then why then do you want liberation from my own samsara, my own form of samsara? So that Prahlad Maharaj answers in 21 and 22nd verse. Now, 20th verse, it's clear, right? 20th verse, Prahlad Maharaj said that everything is a manifestation of your energy. And I'm looking for your lotus feet and then liberation from this kind of entanglement. Then, Narsingdeva may question, if everything is, I am the form of everything, then why do you want to liberation from my samsara? That is also mine only. So, he's answering in 21st verse. Maya manasrujati karma mayam baliya. Kalena chodita gunam gunanumatena pumsa chandomayam yadajaya arpita shodasharam samsara chakramajako titareta tadya tadanya.
O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus, the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desire to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of Karma Kand and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet?
Although everything is your energy, your 16 elements are meant for the entanglement of the person, right? And the mind, okay, is entrapping the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires, right? And he is trying to fulfill those desires by following some Vedic karma kandic rituals, etc. So this is the position here. So better to get free from this entanglement by taking shelter of your lotus feet. Prabhupada says, the living entity, Nate Vidu Swarthakatam Hi Vishnum, we remember. So, the original Swartha, real interest of every living entity is Vishnu only. But in this material world, the conditioned soul is acting contrary to his real goal. So, Lord is arranging through this material nature for the living entity's deliverance. So, living entity's actions are contrary to his real goal. He doesn't know his self-interest, and all his actions are against his real goal. Swarthagatim Vishnu. Like that. Durashayaye bahirarthamanina. So, Prabhupada is writing, wheel of repeated birth and death is created by Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to direct the bewildered living entity in progress towards liberation, according to varied stages of advancement, different directions are given in Vedas. So the real purpose of Vedas is not to engage somebody in karmakanda, but the real purpose of Vedas is to direct one back to Godhead. But the living entity does not know his real goal, and he is just wandering in this universe. Although he is contacting Vedas, he is utilizing the Vedas only to fulfill his sense gratificatory desires by performing some karmakandic rituals, not knowing his real interest. But Vedas are meant to elevate a person to back to Godhead. So the ultimate conclusion, Prabhupada says, is one must surrender to the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Then one will gradually attain liberation. No other method. Right. Now, 22nd verse. Sattvam hi nitya vijita atma guna swadhamna. Kalo vashikrita visrajya visarga shakti. Chakre visrishtam ajayeshvara shodasare nishpidyamanam upakarsha vibho prapannam.
My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet.
So, although this samsara is also created by the Lord, still, one will be entangled in this samsara because of the 16 elements and then utilizing this Vedas to perform some karmakandic rituals. And on top of it, there is time, Lord's energy. The time factor is crushing the living entities. So to come out of this whole entanglement, one has to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So how can Lord give shelter? If a living entity is so much entangled in this samsara, what makes Lord give shelter to the conditioned soul who is suffering? Here it is mentioned, material elements are under your control. Prabhupada elaborates on that only. Why only Supreme Lord can deliver us from the wheel of Maya? The answer is simple. Because Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So, material nature is working under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. Right? Now, when the wheel of material desires, material miseries is also creation of Supreme Lord. But he is not under the control of material energy. So, he is the controller of this energy, which is controlling the living entities. So, and he is not controlled by this energy. So, to come out of this control of this material energy, he has to approach the controller of this energy. Right? So he has to take shelter only. And who is not under the samsara's control? Lord is controller, samsara is controlled. Lord is not controlled by samsara. But the samsara is controlling the living entity. So the living entity, to come out of the control of the samsara, he has to take shelter of the supreme controller who is not under the control of samsara. Then, so that's how he becomes the deliverer. Then what is the necessity of surrender? Maya continuously imposes suffering on the conditioned souls. Right? Therefore, suffering humanity must surrender unto Krishna as he himself demands. Sarva dharman parityajya. So it's not a matter of your choice. It is a prescription given by the Supreme Lord Himself. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. He Himself said, I have created this samsara and you are not supposed to be in this samsara. You should come out of this samsara. And what to do to come out of this samsara? Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So it is a prescription of the Lord. It is the instruction of the Lord. So one has to do. One more nice analogy that Prabhupada gives. Why only Supreme Lord can deliver us from the wheel of Maya? For example, a criminal is there. He did some mischief and he was imprisoned by the government. So the government, which has the ability to imprison a criminal, is also having the ability to release him also. Right? So the Supreme Lord, who made the conditioned soul entangle in this samsara, who is the creator of the samsara, he has the ability to bring him out of samsara also. Like that. So, one has to, Prabhupada says, one has to conclusively know that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by Supreme Lord. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus, one can be saved from material condition. Like that. Now, Prahlad Maharaj expressed his desire to come out of the samsara and found out the means to come out of the samsara, and after coming out of the samsara, he wants to take shelter of the lotus feet also. So now, Prahlad Maharaj from 23rd verse onwards, he is further explaining his own formerly gathered experience of seeing the activities of Hiranyakasipu, how horrible this material world is. Why am I not giving so much importance to this material world? Why am I so eager to come out of this material world? Because I have seen it. I have seen my father suffering in it, in his attempts to enjoy it. Right? That he says in the 23rd verse. He speaks about the futility of Ayushri, etc. Drishtamaya divi vibho khila dhishnyapanam Ayushriyo vibhavai chati yanjanoyam Yesmat pituh kupitahasa vijrambhitabhru Vispurjitena lulita satute nirastah.
My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary system for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movement of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment.
Mm. So this Ayu, Shriya, Vibhava, all this opulence, long life and beauty, etc. have seen all this being possessed by my father. Right? He controlled the demigods. He controlled the material nature. He did so much. But just by a moment, what is it? Vijrambita bhru vispurjitena. Simply by your angry eyebrows, right? He was completely, by seeing the movement of his eyebrows, when my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. And that fellow is vanquished by your anger, right? He could create such a disturbance in the material world. He could control all the controllers of this material world, who are the demigods. And such a person is immediately vanquished in a moment by your anger, right? When you wanted to vanquish him. So, his possessing of Ayu, Shriya, Bala, Vaibhava, this is all of no use. So, I don't desire to possess all of them. So, one may have a beautiful body and so many other material achievements. They cannot be maintained forever. So, like Hiranyakasipu is the best example. He acquired a lot, but he could not maintain them forever. He maintained only for a few years. Right? So, surrender. That is the solution. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, which is powerful or opulent or influential, can endure. Endurance is low. Like that. At any time, such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just the case of Hiranyakasipu is the best example. Someone says, someone wants to buy a mobile. So this works very nice. Right? He has so many options. He has so many functions. It's very user-friendly. But its lifetime is only 2 days. Who will buy such a mobile? Right? So similarly, Ayushriya Vaibhava, which is not permanent, which cannot stay with you forever, is of no use. That's what he says. So better surrender. So what do you want? Narasingha my question. He says in 24th verse, beautiful verse. Tasmadamustanubhritam ajama shishogna. Ayushriyam vibhama indriyam avirinchyat. Nechamite vilalitan uruvikramena. Kalatmanopanayamam nijabhritya parshvam. Tasmadamustanubhritam ahamashishagno. Ayushriyam vibhavama indriyam avirinchyat. Nechamite vilulitan uruvikramena. Kalatmanopanayamam nijabhritya parshvam.
My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the end. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant.
So he says, Tasmad amus tanubhritam aham asishagna. So this asisha, this benedictions, right, of ayu, shriyam, vibhavam, aindriyam, so this long life, opulence, then material wealth, then sense gratification, all this kind of benedictions. So this, I know, I am aware of their potency. I am aware of their endurance. Vilulitan, they are subject to be finished at any time. Right? So what am I aspiring for is not those temporary benedictions. Please place me in the touch of your pure devotee. Right? And let me serve him as a sincere servant. Kalatmanopanaya mam nijabhrutya parshvam. Nijabhrutya parshvam means I want the association of your devotee. So please keep me in the association of your devotee. So he is standing right in front of the Lord and begging for the association of a devotee. That's how important the association of a devotee is in our life. Same theme we see in many other prayers. Right? Prachetas also say, so we want the association of devotees. Then who is that? Pruthu Maharaj also says, San Mukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam, I want to hear about you in the association of your devotees. So here he is also saying, Leela Kathastavan Rishimhavirincha Gita, then Nijabhritya Parshvam, I want the association of your devotees and I want to hear about your glories. So these are the prominent desires of all great devotees. So Prabhupada says that we have to learn from Prahlad Maharaj's experience. In 23rd and 24th verses, Prahlad Maharaj is nicely presenting his experience. I have personally seen my father, who is so opulent, so powerful. He was just vanquished by you. Right, simply. So I don't want that. I just want your shelter. I just want your devotees association. So we need to learn from his experience and follow in his footsteps. All material opulence is perishable at every moment. Even this body for which we try to acquire so many sensual pleasures may perish at any time. Like that. So Prabhupada says in one lecture that when you say my body, you should understand whose body it is. Right? Is it actually your body? So when you are a small child, this body belongs to parents. Right? When you become grown up and then you become married or whatever, then the body belongs to the family or your employer who is paying you for maintenance of this body. So whoever pays for the maintenance of this body becomes the maintainer or the master of this body. Where are you coming in the picture? Right? So ultimately, whatever is there in this body is coming from the Supreme Lord only. Ultimately, it belongs to the Supreme Lord. Better dedicate the bodily activities in the service of the Supreme Lord. That's what Prabhupada says. So, shelter of pure devotee will save us from the onslaughts of material nature. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistare Payacha Keva. So, one should understand Krishna in truth. Okay? And this is possible only by serving a pure devotee. Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahur Vimuktes. So, there are different types of material opulence. One is bhukti, right? Being situated in a very good position to enjoy sense gratification, right? Demigods, opulence, or whatever. Then second is mukti, disgusted with material advancement and then desiring to become one with the Supreme, merging. This is also material opulence only. Then he doesn't have the opulence of headache. He has the opulence of not having headache. So being in the material world, he's having headache. Merging into the impersonal Brahman is not having headache, zero state. So that is opulence. This is another opulence, having a little lesser headache. Within the material world, the bhukti's opulence is having less headache. Mukti's opulence is having no headache. Then siddhi's opulence is executing severe type of meditation like that of yogis to attain 8 kinds of perfection. So this opulence of bhukti, mukti, siddhi, all this Prahlad Maharaj is rejecting. And I just want the service in bhakti. Like that. So Chakravartipa says, his comment, since my father possessing such power, wealth was destroyed, I do not want objects of enjoyment, knowledge to attain those objects, which is actually ignorance. Knowledge to attain sense gratificatory objects is actually ignorance. Right, so all the facilities and gadgets and that are which are being created for facilitating one sense gratification is not actually coming out of knowledge, it is coming out of ignorance. But devotees are so experts that they are very knowledgefully utilizing all of them in Krishna's service. Like that. So actually ignorance, pleasure of senses and even the enjoyment of Brahma, since these are all destroyed by time. Why this is ignorance? Why they are all bogus? Because they don't have endurance. They are destroyed by time. Now, Narasingadeva may question, what is this? Everyone desires enjoyment and power and you are rejecting all of that? Just to serve me? Just to associate with my devotee? Now, in the 25th verse, Prahlad Maharaj says, Kutra asisha sruti sukha mrgatrish nirupa Kvedam kalevaram asesharujam viroha Nirvidyate natu jeno yadapiti vidvan Kamanalam madhuliva samayandurapaihi.
In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists and politicians know this very well. But nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain. But because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion.
So, where is the question of happiness in this material world?
So where is the question of water in a mirage, in a desert, right? So just like in a desert there is no water, right? So it's like appearance of water only, mirage. Similarly, in this material world there is no happiness. And interesting thing is everyone knows it. All the great politicians and every philosophers, scientists, everyone knows that there is no happiness here. Or even if that happiness is there, that is temporary. Everyone knows it. Still, they endeavor for that happiness. Why? The only reason is uncontrolled senses. There is no happiness in this. Even if there is apparently happiness, that is temporary. And this will lead to suffering only. Everyone knows this. Still, because of uncontrolled senses, people will contact sense objects. Right? And entangle. Just one simple example in our day-to-day life that happens. So somebody is sick. He is not supposed to eat some spicy food or something like that. Medu vada. What is that? Batata vada. So vada pav, whatever. Somebody he is not supposed to eat certain food items, but still, and he knows, he is aware. Doctor told him, and doctor is aware also that if I eat this, I will be in distress. My health will deteriorate. Still, one will go and eat this because of uncontrolled senses. You can't judge devotees by if someone is doing like this. This is meant for our understanding. One small example. Like that. No, the whole world is running like this only. Although, even with little common sense, everyone understands that this activity is beneficial or not. Not many in this material world are so ignorant that if I put my hand in fire, it will not burn. Only a small child may be doing like that. Every smoker knows, every chain smoker knows that it is injurious to health. And it is printed also, big. Every drunkard knows that it is causing ill health. It is damaging my body. Every prostitute hunters, it may cause, every prostitute hunter knows that it will cause AIDS or whatever. But still, because of uncontrolled senses, people are just after this illusory, temporary, false material enjoyment. That is the point made here. Futility of material plans for happiness.
Prabhupada says,
he quotes a Bengali song. He says, I constructed this home for happiness, but unfortunately there was fire and everything has been burnt into ashes. You see, any typical person, for example, in India, so he undergoes certain education for whatever, 20 years or 22 years, whatever, and then he takes up a job. Any normal middle class family person, right? He undergoes education, takes up a job, and then he earns a lot, and then he buys a scooter or some bike or a car, and eventually by taking some loan or some taking some with some savings, he'll buy a house. And by the time he buys a house and he has the ability to settle in that house, he's already 50 or 60, and just for a few years he will stay there, and then his children or someone else will take over this. Right? This is like a middle class story. Right? Just that's how the life of... I thought of requesting some comments from you. Okay. So if you have some, just 2-3 minutes, you can just... Sorry, thank you. Oh my God, I was thinking of asking Rosie for after break, but somehow we just went around. Where are we? So, one may repeatedly make plans, but they are repeatedly frustrated. Therefore, one should stop plan making for sense gratification. You should make plans for serving Krishna, right? And then he will progress in devotional service. One cannot stop a blazing fire by constantly pouring ghee upon it. One cannot satisfy oneself by increasing plans for sense enjoyment. This is one analogy that Daksha gives, right? Daksha, in Daksha's episode,
In purport Prabhupada gives, Daksha's philosophy is that when a lady engages in sex and becomes pregnant, and then when he undergoes some labor pains, then she will decide, I will never engage in sex. This labor pain is so difficult, I can't bear this. And then after giving birth to a child, then again she engages in sex. Right? Just by experiencing distress or happiness will not satisfy one so that he will stop sense enjoyment. So the happiness or distress, whatever it may be, it is not an impetus. The happiness or distress that you get from material activities will not be an impetus for you to stop material activities. Right? Then, problem is our desires cannot be satisfied by illusory thoughts and plans. Solution is one has to follow the instructions of Krishna. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam saranam vraja. Like that. So our desires cannot be satisfied by illusory thoughts and plans. So again, in the fourth canto, there is a beautiful analogy that comes. Prabhupada gives, our desires for sense enjoyment are like, fourth canto analogy. Huh? Salt. What is it? Our sense gratificatory desires are compared to something in Prithumara's episode. You remember? No? Anyone else? They are like ripples on the river. Right? Now you remember? Our desires for sense gratification are like ripples on the river which will never stop. Means our desires for sense gratification will never stop. When will they stop? When they meet the ocean. When the river meets the ocean, the oceanic tides will overwhelm it. Similarly, our desires for sense gratification, which are like ripples on the river, will never stop. When we surrender to a devotee and assist him in his plans for Krishna's service, which are like oceanic tides, then our desires will just vanquish. Right? So oceanic tides are powerful than river ripples. Similarly, devotees, pure devotees' plans for serving Krishna are more powerful than our plans for sense gratification. Best is, keep that aside, keep our plans aside and engage in the plans of devotee. Simple. Like that. Why the desire for sense gratification continues? Chakravarti Pada says, he gives a big flow. Objects like a kingdom give happiness by seeing or hearing. By seeing or hearing about them only. It's like mirage. Actually, they do not give a drop of happiness because they are filled with worry, calamities, attachment, hatred, envy, competition. Because all these are involved, the kingdom or anything will not give us any happiness. Then, next. Even if there is happiness, it is the greatest suffering because of our inability to enjoy it. Now, if you don't have access to some facility, you don't have access to, say, rasgulla. So today, there is no rasgulla in the menu, lunch menu. You are not so much bothered about it. But there is rasgulla in today's menu, and you should not eat it. Nobody is giving you. Okay? Then that is even more suffering, more frustrating, more stressful, right? So similarly, having no material opulence is one kind of suffering. Having material opulence and having no ability to enjoy it is even more distressful. That's what is mentioned by Prabhupada, Chakravarti Pada here. Knowing the nature of this happiness, a person pacifies the fire of desire by a drop of happiness, which is attained with difficulty. So his desire is so much. His desire to eat rasgulla is so much. I want to eat 10 rasgullas, 100 rasgullas. That is his desire. But he cannot, because he doesn't have the capacity to enjoy so many rasgullas, he will just eat 1/4 of rasgulla and then be happy. So his fire of desire is satisfied by a drop of happiness. Is it satisfaction? No. His fire will just continue to burn. So, but the fire again springs up and he does not become detached from it. You are understanding, right? This whole series. Chakravarti Pada writes this. Objects like kingdom give happiness by seeing and hearing only. like mirage. There is actually no happiness. Actually no happiness. Why? Because why there is no happiness? Because of worry, calamities, and other envy, other things. But even if there is happiness, it is the greatest suffering because you don't have the ability to enjoy. Rasgulla. Right? And your fire of desire is tried to be satisfied by a drop of happiness only. And the fire continues to exist. And this fellow's desire continues to exist. Right? And it will never extinguish. And he will continue in this samsara. And fulfilled desires is the cause of samsara. Like that. 26th verse.
Kvaham raja prabhava ishatamo dhukesmin. Jatasuretarakule kvatavanu kampa. Na brahmano na tubhavasya na vai ramaya. Yanmerpita sirasi padmakara prasada.
Even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine.
Mm. So that is the description of a person in this material world with uncontrolled senses. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is shifting to another theme where he says, you are so merciful to me. Although I am in a demoniac birth, you put my hand, your hand on my head. And this privilege Brahmaji didn't get, Shiva didn't get, Lakshmi didn't get. Right? Naham virinjo nabhavo na shreer. So Brahma, Shiva and Lakshmi did not get the privilege of getting the touch of Narsingdev's hand. And they also did not get the privilege of binding Krishna, Damodar. Sukadeva Goswami also says, Naham virinjo nabhavo na shreer apyanga samshraya prasade lebhire gopi tat tat prapya vimuktidat. So, what Yashoda Mai's fortune, what were her fortune? Her fortune was not accessible to Brahma, Shiva and Lakshmi. Prahlad Maharaj's fortune also was not accessible to Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi here. I just remember that. Everyone has access to causeless mercy of the Lord. Now, Prabhupada gives another explanation. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is saying this, but everyone has this privilege. If at all you have the desire, eligibility, then you will definitely get the touch of Narsingdev's hand. Right? All you need is a sincere desire. That is your eligibility. So Prahlad was surprised by Lord's causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Right. So, even in third canto also, when Devahuti's episode was there, Prabhupada writes that everyone can become mother of Supreme Lord. So, Devahuti became the mother of Supreme Lord and experiencing the feelings of separation there. So, every woman has this fortune. So, it's not that Vatsalya Rasa is restricted to only few ladies. Anyone can become. But you have to follow in the footsteps of other Vatsalya devotees. That. So, Lord will not deprive anyone of his loving reciprocation. He will leave it to the desire of the living entity. He is ready to bestow, he is ready to reciprocate with the mood of the devotee. It's up to us to cultivate that mood. Like that. Yathamam prapadyante. Another important point here is, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family. But the demoniac birth will not affect his body. So Vaishnava's body is spiritual in nature. That's what is mentioned by Prabhupada here. So demoniac body means there are symptoms of lust and hankering, passion and ignorance. But Prahlad being a great devotee, although he is born of a demoniac father, okay, who is afflicted by passion and ignorance, still because he is engaged in full service of the Supreme Lord, he is not counted as a demon. Right? His body is not belonging to this material world or demon. Like that. That is the glory of devotional service. So the process of initiation is that in the process of initiation, one's body becomes spiritual. How? Fifth kind of purport. Anyone remembers? No? Yes, anyone? By the process of initiation, how will the body of the disciple become spiritual? Yes, exactly. So subtle body gets purified. By following the instructions of spiritual master, subtle body gets purified. Right? Basically, this gross body will just act according to the desires of subtle body. If the subtle body has material desires, gross body will function to fulfill those material desires. But if the subtle body is having spiritual aspirations by following the instructions of spiritual master after initiation, then this gross body will act according to the spiritual desires of the subtle body. And it's just a matter of time before this gross body becomes spiritual. Because subtle body is already becoming spiritual by initiation. And again, in this purport, Prabhupada speaks about the glory of a devotee. Devotional service is great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, Lord accepts it. Lord accepts it as more valuable than the service of Lakshmi, who is his constant companion. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum sadyakshata akhila malam pratilabdha shilam. You remember this verse? Where did this verse come? You are thoroughly tired, I think. 1246. Okay, we'll end after this. So this comes when Lord Vishnu was answering the Kumaras. So Vishnu says, you are offended, my devotees offended you. Right? I have become so glorious only by my service to Brahmanas. Yat sevaya. Charana padma pavitra renum sadyakshata akhilamalam pratilabdha shilam. My lotus feet has become so glorious and the dust becomes so purifying. Right? Sadyakshata akhilamalam pratilabdha shilam. And I have acquired such a disposition that I can purify everyone from sin. Right? Nashrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya. Even Shri, although I am not interested in her service, Shri is just behind me to offer service. And although so much fan following is behind her, leaving all that fan following, she is following me and I have no interest in her. So I have acquired this kind of disposition only by my service to Brahmanas. He says like that. Okay. So Brahma, Indra, demigods living in upper planets are situated in different spirit of consciousness and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. So, like that. So, very much connecting to this purport is the next verse, where Prahlad Maharaj describes Narsingadev as desire tree, who will reciprocate according to one's level of service. So, this we will take in the next session, whoever is speaking on Monday. So, thank you all very much. Gantharashimad Bhagavatam ki. श्री नरसिंह भगवान की प्रहलाद महाराज की श्रील प्रभुपाद की अभी आया प्रभु जी अंदर ओके आई विल गिव क्वेश्चंस देयर
Hare Krishna.